This podcast may contain coarse language. Listener's discretion is advised. Also, this podcast will obviously contain spoilers for Demon Slayer. Please beware, listen at your own risk.
Welcome to the Demon Slayer Podcast, Manga Edition. I am your host, VLORGTZ, and with me today, I have two very special people. First up, we have Marion.
What's up? Good
to be back. And we also have AG.
Yo, also glad to be back.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk with you guys today about Demon Slayer Chapter 182, because boy, this was a good one.
Woo! So good. So good.
Yeah, I mean, every time I think Demon Slayer can't get any better or break our expectations even more, it does it.
Yes. Dude, I don't know how they're going to beat Muzan. I really don't understand how.
Yeah, especially after this chapter, it seems like it's a very uphill battle.
Yeah, dude, this chapter had me. It had me going, because I was like, well, I guess we'll talk about it when we get there, but like, dude, oh man, frick, man, it got me.
Yeah, I guess might as well just get straight into this chapter then. So, chapter 182, titled Rage. So, as the title says, Tanjiro's pretty pissed after last chapter. Muzan kind of pushed all his buttons. And on this, like, opening color page, he's saying, I have never felt this cold toward a living being before. My stomach is churning with hatred. This is the first time, and it's directed at you, Muzan Kibutsuji. I love how just, like, expressionless Muzan is on this, like, page, too.
He's like, I don't even care.
How does he get more handsome with every chapter?
That's just how Muzan rolls. Like, it's kind of his brand.
The Muzan brand.
But then we get, of course, the lead color page for this week. And damn, this is beautiful. Like, we have Tanjiro Ooh. Just swinging in rage. We have Nezuko sleeping like usual. Then Giyu's also swinging his sword. And then we have Muzan's cool new design with all the weird mouth things.
Yes.
I'm still wondering what those mouths even do. Like, they're just there.
What that mouth do?
Oh, man.
I think it's funny, the fact that, like, he's covering his mouth, but there's a hand on his mouth. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very ironic.
I mean, now he has multiple mouths. He can eat from all directions.
I guess he's really an omnivore now.
He's going to get a bunch of Popeye's chicken sandwiches and just eat them all at once.
Oh.
But as we go further into this chapter here, Tanjiro kind of goes on and explains, like, they can't really kill Muzan by cutting off his head, because as we've seen, most of the stronger upper moons of the Kizuki can survive even after their heads have been cut off. So their only real way of defeating Muzan is by bringing him into the sunlight. So, like, Tanjiro and Giyu's goal with this fight isn't necessarily to beat Muzan. They just have to bide time until everyone else arrives so that they can create a strategy to keep Muzan around until dawn so that the sun can kill him. So then the Muzan goes on the offensive here, and he turns his freaking arm into a blade.
That's so badass.
It kind of reminds me of, like, Cars from JoJo.
Yeah.
Because, like, he could, like, transform his, like, arms into, like, whatever he wanted. But this thing just looks straight up freaky. Like, it's just, like, all these weird, like, curved, sharp blades coming out of the arm, and it just looks like a freaking monster.
For some reason, like, it makes me think of, like a weird, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Monster.
It sort of does, yeah. It kind of reminds me of, like, the monster claws on a lot of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Monsters.
I love how, I don't know if Gotouge does this, or if the editor, but I love how they just, how they positioned the boxes for the text on page 8. I don't know why I like that. I don't know. I guess it's just creative, I guess.
Yeah, it, like, has this cool, like, diagonal, like, positioning.
It follows, like, the the screen tones for the action lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, like, right on these pages, like, Muzan basically, like, flings Tanjiro and Giyu back, and they're just maneuvering all over the place in all different directions to try to, like, make sure they aren't getting, like, cut by Muzan. And, like, at this point, they're going so fast that they have to rely on pure instinct. So that's the only thing that would actually be effective.
And that can only last so long.
Yeah, and it seems like Tanjiro finds an opening to get close to Muzan. But it doesn't seem like that is the best idea.
Ooh!
Yeah, as soon as he closes the distance, and he says, like, I did it. Immediately you see Muzan retaliate with, like, whipping his arm, like, back and forth. And on the next page, with a thud, like, Tanjiro just hits the floor, and you see that his eye got slashed. And
so effed up.
And he didn't even realize that he got hit. He's just lying on the floor.
He hit me?
Huh, I can't see through one of my eyes. That's not good.
And why is it black?
I really love the panel immediately after of, like, Muzan is just, like, standing and, like, whipping his arm. And it looks like it's, like, twisting around his body. Like, he doesn't even care. Like, he's just, like, extending his arm around himself. And it's just, like, whatever. And then Giyu shows up right after. He's like, don't get close. We don't need to cut him. He's more powerful than an upper-rank Kizuki. And they're looking at their surroundings. There's nothing to shield them or no exits. As Muzan keeps, like, whipping around, he starts taunting them, like, oh, you're trying to buy time until dawn comes? But the sun isn't going to reach inside the castle. Can only three Hashira accomplish such a feat? And then Giyu and Tanjiro go away.
What?
Like, with the... I immediately pictured, like, the Metal Gear exclamation point over their heads. Muzan continues, after all, the Hashira in the Striped Haori and the girl Hashira, they both seem to have died at the hands of my minion. And you see Nakime transposed right over his Muzan's face. And we get a bend, a strum. And then we see, like, yeah, Obana and Mitsuri, like, they're, like, just lying. It looks like lifeless with blood splattered everywhere as she keeps on strumming. And then you cut back to Muzan as he's just continues, like, throwing his demon arm whip thing.
Not even caring.
Yeah. And it looks like Tanjiro is the one who is getting aimed at the most. And Giyu is like, calling out for him, Tanjiro. And Tanjiro's thinking to himself that he shouldn't be a burden or you're going to start endangering his life. And then immediately after, we start seeing, like, all the slashes coming up on the walls. And Tanjiro thinks to himself, oh, who cares if he smashed my eye? I can see with my sense of smell. So I'll use my nose and I'll sniff out the transparent world. And as he breathes in, he starts thinking, oh, but Muzan's attacks are too fast to smell, and he can't maintain his breathing.
Yeah, and then when he hits a wall, literally, and I don't know. I'm like, I'm just, while we're going through this, I'm like rereading it again. I'm like, I can't even think again. but oh man, no. And then I forgot their names, but like when the two Hashiras like were supposedly killed, that totally took me by surprise because I did not expect that. Yeah. And then they grab me back again on page 18 when she comes back. Kanroji, that's what it is. Her name is
Kanroji. Yeah.
Yeah. And she definitely gets Muzan by surprise. So at least, I mean, it's weird to say, but me and Muzan had something in common at the moment. But she comes in and uses her love breathing, which I'm surprised Muzan was not affected because, I mean, hey, it's Kanroji. But anyway, I like how even it's all serious. And I guess the panel that Gotouge does right here is when she's like, what? He's unarmed? I've never been so shocked. Like, he does a little comical, I guess, have a little light heart moment in the how everything's going on right now. And then Igoro comes back, and you thought he was dead too? Nope. Now, I know everybody's confused now. And so he's saying, he comes back and blocks Tanjiro, so he won't, I guess, get back up and attack and be stupid and get another eye cut. But basically, he's over here saying, try worrying about yourself instead of others. Because Tanjiro, you know, is about that life. But yeah, and then it shows over here how Muzan is, like, very confused. And he's asking his Upper Moon, what are you doing? And then another twist I did not see coming. There's a lot of twists in this one chapter. So my thoughts are just going as they go. I can't comprehend. But yeah, I can't remember this dude's name. What was this guy's name on 22?
Yoshida.
Yeah, he's... I didn't know he could do this. Did I miss something? He's like over here controlling her vision.
Well, I think it kind of makes sense because he made himself like disappear before by putting like the talisman on himself. But like,
oh yeah,
like controlling other people's vision. I guess that's like just like an extension of his power then.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It looks like actually like not just controlling her vision, but like maybe controlling her too. I can't tell.
Yeah, I don't know, but like I know this is just a manga chapter, but like over here when it's like the stuff he's saying and like even Muzan, I don't know if Muzan looks scared here or he's just like, you know, caught off guard, but like the dude's literally like, I demand that you kneel and abject repentance for taking Lady Tamayo away from me. And then the whole castle's shaking, but then no, actually it's warping, and he's like, and now I'm gonna knock you outside. With his tears and his rage, the title of this chapter, you would think, oh, it's for Tanjiro. No, it's for him. And yeah. Again, it's just a manga chapter, but you can feel the hype. You could like just his reaction, dude. Like I don't know what you always give me the end of the chapters, and they're like they're always the same at the end. They're always like hype and like wanting you. Have more chapters, man. It's so hard reading this weekly. I need a bin.
I know, right? Like, God. November 17th, where are you?
Come on. Hey, at least it's 7 days, not 9 days this time.
Yeah. That 9 days was more painful.
So glad. I usually look at spoilers before when they come out. And I'm so glad I didn't, because this totally took me off guard. There was like, I was legit like, what? Through the whole chapter.
Yeah, and like, wait, there's no fucking way. There's no way. Come on. Like, you didn't get to see the fight. And then like, no, of course not. Because here they are now. Like, ah.
Yeah. And then I'm just like Muzan there. I'm like so confused. I'm like, okay, how are they here? What happened? What was that panel I just saw? Yeah.
Honestly, I'm surprised that they got involved so quickly. I was expecting probably like a few chapters of just Tanjiro and Giyu fighting Muzan, and then they'd show up. But nah, they're here right away, and Yushiro's even here. So like, it seems like if Yushiro has full control of Nakime, they can just get rid of the fortress right now.
Yeah, they said like, the hell with that. Like, no battle royale thing. We're just gonna go straight to it. Like,
straight to the final battle.
Dude, Gotouke, they're like, it's because it's, here's the thing, it's so simple, but yet you still don't expect it, I guess, because, I don't know, it's not your average shonen battle manga.
You're so used to this formula of, okay, we're gonna have a little bit of, like, the heroes fighting the main villain by themselves, and there's gonna be a critical moment with the twist, and then there'll be the final epic battle royale. Yeah. But no, we're just going straight to that battle royale.
Yeah, and I think that's how he gets you, man. That's, I think that's what's making it so hype, because I mean, you're just not expecting it right now, you know. I was expecting like a freaking, I don't know, another 20 chapters maybe till we, you know, start going ham on the final fight. But I guess it also makes sense too, because I honestly didn't see how Tanjiro and why am I keep forgetting names?
Giyu?
But the other guy, Giyu, yes! Tomioko, yeah. Both of them, I just didn't see how they could honestly even fight Muzan. So I'm like, I know they're not going to die. Well, then again, I know you never know these days with this manga. But I'm like, I don't know how they're going to beat them. So, but.
Yeah, I was like, I had the same impression because it's crazy because I thought that this would be a little bit like JoJo and like, okay, the next fight is starting. Everyone's magically going to be like, they're not going to address the previous injuries or whatever. But like, no, you see Tanjiro sweating hard and like,
yeah,
everyone is like still banged up and everything. One thing that was really surprising for me was the fact that like, I thought Giyu still had like the mark active. And I noticed like on the cover page, the center color page, like he doesn't have it. And then he doesn't have it in the battle either. So I'm wondering if he's just waiting to like unleash it.
Ooh.
Cause I thought he would immediately go into that to, but I guess cause they're waiting for all the other Hashira.
Yeah, he probably doesn't like want to expend all his energy at once because he knows that they have to be cautious.
Yeah, because dude, I don't know. Tanjiro's like, I feel like he's done. I mean, then again, that's what I thought throughout the manga, and yet he keeps going. So I don't know.
I think Tanjiro's probably gonna take a break from the fight to like gain up his strength, and then like during like a critical moment, he'll get back involved.
Yeah, he's probably gonna go back and grab some sensu beans, and then come back better than ever.
Maybe so. Nezuko will show up and be the sensu bean.
Oh, buckets! Ah, hype! Oh yeah, that's how Muzan's gonna die. Nezuko's gonna kill him because it's gonna end up being Day. And I don't know. I'm just thinking right now. I'm just thinking a lot of weird theories. But
yeah, no, do it. I do the same shit.
Nah, bro. But like, I don't know. Especially with I'm just looking at this panel with Tanjiro's eye cut, because like I don't know why I didn't expect that. I never expect big attacks hitting the main characters, and I'm like, yeah. I'm looking at like oh crap, that dude he lost an eye. This dude has no eye anymore.
Yeah, it's like not just a cut, it's like a deep cut. I don't think like he can heal that at all.
Yeah
at first I thought it was like his eyelid, but it looks like no, because his eye is closed and it's like bleeding from the lids, so it should be like the inside of his eye, like actually cut.
Yeah, because look on page 16 with his panel right there, that like exactly what you said. That looks like, I mean, it looks like his eye. What happened?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's like his eyelashes, it's coming from like the area of his eyelashes, not like the area above the lid.
Yeah. So, ooh,
just mutilating the characters.
So sorry, Tanjiro. I'm not gonna lie. I know it's weird because like he's a, I wouldn't say like he's a basic main character, but he's nothing that really stands out. But he's actually, you know, reading through the manga, he's actually a really cool character, I would say, in my opinion. I don't know.
Why and would you say that? Like, what specifically?
I guess I don't know if it's because I don't know if it's like I can't even think now anymore, man. It's like. He seems normal and he's always like, you know, nice and caring and stuff, but I guess it's Muzan's bringing his rage. I don't know. It reminds me of Gon in a sense. Cause I don't know. He's Gon's like, you know, happy and nice. And, but then, you know, once you get him mad, it's all hell breaks loose, basically.
I sort of see that. Yeah. Cause he's so, like you said, like not happy go lucky, but he's like really, he's kind and like he lets most things like fall off his back or whatever. He doesn't really get angry. Like, especially with back to when Inosuke got introduced and him trying to like tease and goad him on, but Tanjiro's just like, oh whatever. Oh, you want my food? Here, go ahead. But like when it comes to like actual like inhuman atrocities, that's what like really I guess like breaks him. And I don't know, like I thought that that short little monologue at the start of the chapter where he was like, I have never felt this cold. Sort of before, like that was like, whoa, because it's funny because like you see the word like, oh, feeling cold, and then his scabbard is like or not his scabbard, the what's it called, the cross guard is Rengoku's with the flame. I'm like, oh man,
oh yeah, he's gonna go ham.
I got chills,
dude. I like I totally forgot that like Muzan killed most of his family, because I'm just like, man, why is he like, he's really does like Muzan after all he's been through. He must really care about a lot about everybody. And then I'm just like, oh yeah, he killed his family. I could see why he would be really mad.
Just a small little detail there.
I think what really, I think what really adds salt in the wound is the fact that, like, all the other demons he's killed, he's had, like, empathy for them or whatever, and he's like, oh, okay, I see the human side of you. But then, like, the one demon who happened to kill his family, the one who's, like...
Yeah.
It's the one that he can't forgive, because...
I don't kill to eat, I just kill because I'm better.
Why don't you all just give up? I'm just a natural disaster here.
Yeah. I'm like... It's funny, because, like, Muzan, again, like, he's not, like, I wouldn't say, like, he's, like, one of the greatest villains of all time, but he's still a pretty good villain, I would say. But, and it's also, too, like, with, like you said, with, Tanjiro, you know, he always feels bad for the demons, and, you know, but with this guy, with Muzan, I'm telling you, it's like, obviously, he can't forgive him, but it's, because I feel like he can't help him, you know, because everybody else had a bad past, you know, and there's reasons why they became a demon and all that stuff. But with Muzan, it's like, there's no helping this dude. He's just a bad guy. And just got to get rid of him. Poof. Gone.
It's like, to some extent, the other demons, they all wear their hearts on their sleeve, but Muzan has no heart to speak of.
Yes. See, that's what I do. I overcomplicate things, and then people can just make my words a lot better. Yes, I agree with what you said.
Just no problem. That's why I like to listen to people. That's part of the conversation, man.
So one question I have for you guys is that we've been thinking about this a lot, and like, because this is probably the final arc of the series and all. How much longer do you think Demon Slayer is going to go at this point?
Huh.
I feel like it's a lot less than I originally thought back when we first started the podcast. Like, I feel like it's way less than the impression I had back then. I feel like at this rate, maybe 20 chapters, maybe less.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, I know final arcs usually last a lot longer than what some usually would think. And I don't know. I feel like this manga might be an exception, but I feel like we have, like, at least another year. You know, I feel like 2020 might be where, like, close to the end of 2020, I feel like that's when it's gonna, you know, end. But I'm surprised we have not gotten a announcement yet saying it's the final arc.
That's the weird part, too, because, like, Neverland has been promoting quite a bit, like, yeah, it's the final arc, it's the final arc, but we're literally fighting Muzan right now, and there's no promotion of it being the final arc.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, freaking last podcast I was on, I'm like, what's gonna happen, man? Tanjiro's gonna become a demon, and, like, they're gonna have to kill him. He's gonna be the main villain now. I mean, I don't know if it's gonna stop with Muzan.
My only guess is on how it could continue is the guy that turned Muzan into a demon somehow is alive or is, like, affiliated with some other mastermind group of people, and they have to fight them now.
That's what I would think too. Or like,
ooh,
like there has to be some kind of, like, okay, maybe Muzan was, like, the first in an experiment to actually make people. And then, like, meanwhile, on the other side of the world, like, IQ, you go to Brazil and there's, like, the original demons.
So Tanjiro's now doing Uber Eats.
Man.
Did you order a Nichiren sword? Here you go.
I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, what else would be after that. Like, I don't know if they could, like, make it more... I mean, I'm not going to doubt Gotouge's writing, but, like, how to make it more hype after Muzan, you know? Because it's like, oh, it's the big bad guy. How are they going to make it more hype after that, you know?
It's like, Muzan... Defeating Muzan's been, like, the core motivation of the series. And, like, if Nezuko is actually cured at the end of this arc, like, it's being implied, like, what else is there to do? Like, what is the reason for Tanjiro to keep fighting?
Oh, yeah. We talked about this the first time we recorded with Sakaki. But, like, back to that idea of, like, okay, so what if we kill Muzan, but the demons who were turned are still around? Would the focus be to, like, turn them human or like to integrate them into society, and then we have, like, a demon human integrated society or something?
Yeah, I could see that, but, like, to make that interesting, I have no idea how that would work.
I feel too, if that antidote for Nezuko works, they'd probably just go around and cure all the demons.
Yeah, but But that could be like a chapter or two, you know? That could be an arc. I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe Muzan just doesn't die and they have to go find him again. I don't know. I'll kind of be pissed. I'm like, bro, kill this guy already.
It'll be a Naraku situation where, like, in Inuyasha, Naraku's always, like, fought a bunch of times and he barely survives and then escapes. It'll just happen, like, five more times. And then the sixth time, it'll be, like, the epic final battle.
Yeah. And the final. I don't know. You might have missed a final on there, but no, it's... And then you get to like 600 chapters, and you're like, all right, now we're at the peak shonen manga right now. We're getting over so many chapters.
Yes, Tanjiro, you have finally gathered the seven shards of the Shikan Jewel that is actually freaking Yorichi's sword. Like,
oh man, I don't know. I'm like you said, I feel like, I don't know, 20 chapters, I could definitely see it ending, but I think the only thing that's got me off is the no promotion of the final arc. That's the only thing that's got me off.
Yeah, that's the thing that's throwing me off, too. That and Nezuko still hasn't gotten involved, and I feel by the end of this arc, like, Nezuko has to do something.
True.
I don't know if it's just them being cautious, because, like, now is the time that the manga is selling, like, hotcakes or whatever, and they don't want to scare people, like, oh, it's gonna happen.
Would that turn also, people off from buying it, though?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, that could be like their impression. Was Death Note like promoted in that way when the last arc was coming up?
I have no idea, actually.
Because I feel like something similar was addressed, maybe in Bakuman, about like when a series is like at the peak of its popularity. It's like the promotion behind it is like. Sometimes people don't want to let them know, like, oh, by the way, this is ending soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Bakuman definitely helps a lot. But I feel also with how Jump is now, I feel like they're kind of doing things a little differently in a sense. But I still feel like they're still going to, I don't know. They might just be like, hey, we're just not going to promote the final arc, you know, and then it's going to be like you just said, just like, poof, that's it.
Three chapters before the end, it's like, oh, hey, yeah, the manga's almost over.
It's
still better than Bleach.
Oh my gosh, dude. Bleach ending sucked.
Even with Bleach, though, like, we knew, like, going in, it was the final arc. So, like, with Demon Slayer, we don't even have that. Like, there's no, like, them saying, hey, this is the final arc. It's just kind of the big, like, climactic battle.
Damn, now I'm not sure anymore.
It's like we feel like we're getting somewhere, and then it just goes back to square one again. You're like, oh, crap, that's not going to work. I don't know. And I think that's another thing that's keeping me interested with the manga. It's like I don't know what's going to happen with it. But I can't wait. I love, I don't know if y'all get Digital Jump. Japanese Digital. But like, I love how they put the whole chapter of Kimetsu now all in color. Because sometimes you don't see like the fighting, especially like the panels, like right here with Muzan fighting them. It's like sometimes you like, I really want to see that in color, and go to the end of the magazine, bro. And I'm like, oh, this is nice. This is very nice. But I don't know. I'm wondering. That's why I was getting curious too. Because I'm like, okay, if they're because I know Gotouke does the color. I think they have their own team that colors them. But I'm like, I'm trying to think. I'm like. I wonder if they talk to Gotouke first and like get the colors, because I know sometimes they'll have it before, like an author does a color page for this character and you don't know what they look like what kind of hair they have, and then all of a sudden you're reading a color chapter and they have like freaking brown hair or something. So I don't know if they go to the author first and say like, hey, what do they actually look like, you know, and then do it.
I'm pretty sure it's probably the editor. Asks in advance for like, because the editor has to give this to the actual department or whatever for the publishing, and then while it's there, they probably right before like when the chapter is handed in, that's when the editor asks like, oh, what should we do about the color or whatever, or maybe like the author will have like notes or whatever when they hand in the manuscript. Like this person has to this or that, whatever.
True. That could be it. I don't know.
Because I know that when authors like hand in or when they're still like drawing stuff from like the storyboard to the manuscript, and they have like their assistants or whatever, they'll write in like pencil, like okay, this area fill in with black, this area here put a called the colorful screen tone. Mm-hmm. Over here, shade the hair. Over here, do this or whatever. So they'll probably have like notes like that for the color, I would assume.
Yeah, that would make sense. Again, like I say, like I feel like I'm like, you know, I'm overcomplicated, overthinking it too much. When it's really, it's just like, no, yeah, I just give it to my editor or whatever, and you know, send it off. That's it. But it's still, I don't know. I wish more authors, Japanese manga had more Twitters. They're on Twitter. Because I love having it now, seeing some of them I follow their manga and seeing them tweet. You know, like, I don't know if y'all watch Vinland Saga, but, like, the author there, like, he's...
Oh, Makoto Yukimura?
Yeah, he's a big big tweeter. So I always love seeing what he says.
Yeah, me and, too.
And especially, like speaking about final arcs, he, like, you know, just said Vinland Saga's entering his final arc. And it's like, I love seeing that. Like, I would love to see, like, a Gotoke get on Twitter and, like, oh, yeah, we're into the final arc now. I don't have to wait, like, so long to hear it in a magazine or hear it leaked or something.
Here's how many pages are left. Pace yourself accordingly.
I'm like, thank you. At least I know now. But I don't know.
I think it really just depends, I guess, on the author. Because I know Usazaki Shiro, the artist for Octage, she has her own like, personal Twitter. And but then like people started like following her like because they realized it was her, and then she had to make like a separate account for like official Act Dodge, because I remember like before it's kind of funny because like on her personal Twitter she would tweet about like Jump and like whatever was coming out and stuff, and she was a really big fan of World Trigger, so whenever it would come out she would be like gushing about the new World Trigger chapter or whatever, and then when it came back people were they were like asking her questions, like, "Oh wow, you read this or whatever," and she's like, "Okay, this is kind of weird. If you want to talk to me about Octage, go to this account."
Yeah, I remember before she, I guess I knew. I think I don't know how I found out, but I know it was before she like before it's like started blowing up. But I remember she would rare. I don't know if she would ever talk about Octage, and I was waiting. I'm like, "Hey, you're gonna say some news," but I guess like. I didn't know about that when, you know, it was just her personal account. Like, she didn't tweet about her manga. But now I guess she's like, oh, well, everybody knows now. Might as well talk about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm still waiting for the day Gotoke gets a Twitter. Does he have another manga by chance? Or is it just Kimetsu?
Just Kimetsu. I never
looked that up. Okay.
There was like a... Well, there was a, like a like a one-shot and like... what's it called? Like a collection of... stuff before serialization that came out. What's it called again, V-Lord?
I do not remember the actual name. I know like it includes like Kagari Gari and all like the one shots that Gotoke did like before Kimetsu.
I think so. He only did one shots.
Yeah,
I think the book is literally called like Gotoke Koyoharu something collection. Like I forgot the hell what the hell the word was.
The something collection.
See, I know. That's, I mean, still, like, I know, I mean, to get, before you get a serialization, you obviously had to do one shots and, you know, have practice, but, like, to actually have his first serialization do this well,
yeah,
it's, like, that's pretty freaking good, I would say.
That's the dream right there.
Yeah, when you're,
yeah,
on track to outsell One Piece for the year, that's a good sign.
Holy crap, I'm so happy. I'm waiting, I'm like, come on, I gotta see, like, when the final sales come out, I'm like, I'm gonna be so happy if it beats One Piece. I mean, no hate against One Piece, guys, but like, it's just nice to see something else new, you know?
Yeah, it's just monumental, because then even, I think Attack on Titan came close, but it never actually broke that gap.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought Attack on Titan had it, and then Kingdom got so close, and it didn't even get it. I'm like, dang. But I would have never expected Kimetsu of all manga. I would have never expected that. Oh, man. Bless UFO Table.
All hail UFO Table. Now give us season 2 after the movie.
Please. I did not think we were going to get anything animated by them. I was so worried because with the tax invasion and all that stuff. I was just like, please, please, I don't want to parry out season two of Kimetsu. I want a UFO table, please.
I think
please.
They just have them pay a fine for it, which, okay, cool.
cool.
All right.
Yeah. I guess. Just charge them interest, that's it. Don't have to go to prison or shut down your company.
Just like a cut of all future Demon Slayer gangbuster money.
Is the actual animator get paid?
Yeah, pay the actual animators.
Yes. Pay the actual. Oh my gosh! I think I don't know. Was that Kimetsu? Where I heard about
It was I think it was PA Works.
Oh no, man, dude! I don't know. Like when I heard about like an animator, it's like the anime had already finished airing, and somebody's like, "Yeah, I still haven't been paid yet." I'm just like, "What?"
That was like JoJo Golden Wind.
Oh yeah. Dude, I was like, I felt bad for the person. I'm like, shoot, dude, you did all that work, you're not getting paid? And it's like, done?
Apparently it was an issue with like the invoices that were filled out wrong, because there was like a new form, but he wasn't like contacted about it, so it's like a bit of both parties' fault, apparently.
Yeah, apparently he did finally get paid, though, so that's good.
Hey, yeah, that's what sucks now. It's like, something happens, and I mean, I guess it's a good thing and a bad thing. It's like, you know, if something bad happens, like you post it on Twitter and enough people see it, they'll share it and say things before you know it. It's like, okay, you got it. So that's the power of the internet, I guess.
Yeah. In a way, that's something I'm glad for when it comes to like fans being able to like interact with creators. And that's what I kind of hope for whenever stuff like that happens. But if by chance we get like some creator getting like a Twitter or whatever and becoming well known and popular, the last thing I would want is like a repeat of what happened with Kubo after Bleach, because that was just nasty. Like,
oh yeah, I don't remember seeing everything about that, but like I just seen some bits and pieces, and I felt bad for the dude.
It was rough, and he actually like deactivated his account.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I mean, I understand. I'm like, hey, if you love a series, you know, and it doesn't end as well as you wanted it to be, you know, followed it for so many years, I can understand that, but to go bash the hater personally, it's like, that's kind of inhumane, very immature, I would say, but it is what it is. I don't know, it's always nice, you know, actually getting replies from authors, you know.
Oh yeah.
But sadly, they don't speak some of them. I don't think Shiro Uzumaki speaks English. Because sometimes I would say something in English and nothing, and then I say one thing in Japanese, and she replies, and I'm just like, "Huh, okay, I just gotta learn Japanese now, so I can talk to everybody." Yeah, I think I'm trying. Oh yeah, and I got okay. It's kind of embarrassing too, because I got one of, I don't know if y'all read The Promised Neverland.
Yeah,
but yeah. The first reply I ever got was from a Hosaka Demizu, and. But there's a catch. How she replied was, I posted a picture of her and saying happy birthday on the on our account, and I didn't know that picture was leaked. Apparently, you weren't supposed to take pictures. So she replied and said, basically to ask me to take it down. And I was just like, oh man, like I was like, I felt it was like a weird like feeling. I'm like, ha, I got a reply, and then I'm like, oh, but I feel bad now, you know. So it's like, yeah, bittersweet, I would say. But Promised Neverland's another thing. But that's another time for another podcast, I guess. Not Kimetsu.
We're just in a podcast for every Jump series now.
Basically, just make a Shonen Jump podcast. I mean, honestly, you could do it, V-Lord. I see you do it already, man.
I don't want to record for like 7 hours every week.
Oh yeah, I forgot. There's an official Shonen Jump.
Yeah,
they don't even do.
They don't even cover everything anymore because it's way too many things.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm glad they usually every time I go in and listen, like they're usually covering, you know, the manga I'm reading. So I'm always, you know, happy about that. But I'm still waiting for Hunter x Hunter Return, because I don't know what it is with that manga. Like I love now. I'm like starting to really like hear people talk about Kimetsu, but like. With Hunter x Hunter, it's like, just anybody, like, I'll just click on random videos from somebody I don't even, like, just the random person with, like, 50 subscribers or something. I'm just like, wow, I say like a lot. But it's just hearing people talk about it, you know, like, your favorite series, I guess. You just, like, hear people talk about it. I don't know.
No,
but,
I
definitely
got it. I remember when the anime first started for Kimetsu, I was like, oh shit, man, I need to see the buzz. I need to know what people are saying. So I went and I watched like every freaking YouTuber I could find, like their freaking first episode Kimetsu no Yaiba reaction. I'm like, all right, fuck it, I got time.
I can't like stand live reaction videos anymore. They just hurt me.
I had the fever. I needed more Demon Slayer. What better way than watch the first episode with a bunch of strangers?
it's always fun seeing seeing people's reactions of like big moments in a series, and yeah, seeing how they react, you know.
And when they don't know anything about it too, that's the fun part.
Yes. Now it's also a thing too, like if they just come in like, oh, I hear a lot of people like they're doing it for views and just watch an episode, they haven't even watched the series. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God. I'm like, you don't understand.
After episode 19 came out, everyone's like, hey, episode 19, Demon Slayer reaction. Hey, I've never
seen it. Yeah.
But I heard this trending worldwide.
I'm going to get so many views.
People who haven't seen Demon Slayer watching that episode are probably like super confused the entire time.
Oh, man. This song, though, it hit. Oh my God. Do you even know who the fuck this person is? Like,
dude, I heard at Anime NYC they're playing the first five episodes.
Oh,
I think it's going to be like the movie format.
Yeah, it's like the theatrical cut of it. I'm tempted to go to it, but I think it's during like the same time as another panel I'm really interested in, so I might have to skip it.
The bad thing about freaking panel like cons, man. It's like there's so many panels happening at once, and you got to decide.
That's wrong.
It's like, come on.
I gotta say,
I feel like I don't know. I heard. I mean, I know we've already seen the episodes, but like, I guess you could honestly, like, I guess you could like find a way to download them and edit them together or something. But like, I hear it's like very like, it's a really good freaking movie. Like all the episodes just together and how it was like just flowed with each other. And honestly, I wish Aniplex put it out more instead of just like, I think it was only in Los Angeles when they premiered it.
It was like the week before the anime aired, I believe.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, I would have loved that. I was so considering, am I really about to fly over to Los Angeles to go watch this? And I'm like, nah.
I wish I had been a bit earlier, because like, or like later, I guess, because I was in Los Angeles, I think like a month after it like came out or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Man, you were there for a while.
Yeah, I was there for like 3 months.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Dang, before you know it, you just moved there.
I wish. Well. I mean, LA's expensive. That ain't happening anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it's more of a like a sightsee, you know, come and go kind of city.
It definitely is.
Yeah, but
I wonder if the movie the Infinity Train arc is going to be like that, where it's out in theaters or whatever, and then when season 2 starts, they're like, oh, okay, we just stitched them together into 5 episodes.
I could see that. Yeah, I'm actually expecting them to do that. But this time, I expect them to put it in more screenings instead of just one in multiple cities, because Kimetsu is going through the roof right now. I mean, you would think, right?
I mean, you would think, yeah, but then Aniplex with freaking Fate.
Yeah, they're now doing a bunch of their films through Funimation Films, so I have a feeling that we might see it in more theaters, hopefully.
Why should it just be like... It'd just be like Los Angeles and New York. That's the only cities it's going to be.
Hey, if it's going to be in Los Angeles, they better do it during like Anime Expo or something, because at least that'll be there.
True. That would definitely help. That would be my go-to. Like, okay, I was, you know, contemplating about going to AX, but shoot, if they're doing that, I'm 100% going.
You get to experience the AX trauma.
Oh man, I've just heard stories and seen videos and pictures, and I'm just like, I'm not ready.
It's less bad if you go as press, but it's still a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a press now. Oppressed. No, I'm gonna be just oppressed. all of a sudden, just like, whoa, where did this come from? I'm like, oh, just coming in. Don't mind me. Excuse me. I'm gonna feel so bad if that actually happens. I'll just skip everybody in line. Excuse me.
I mean, like, they put you in like a special line. So, like, there's like a priority line, and then there's a line outside, and like all the heat that all the general attendees like stand in. It's kind of very effed up, but it's convenient.
Like, yeah. What, do they put you like when you're actually in the panel? are you like, is that what you just said? Like, are you like in your own seats, or is like anybody just picks a seat?
Anyone just picks a seat. Like, certain outlets get like reserve seats, like all the way in the front. But otherwise, it's like a free for all.
I was gonna say, because I feel like I remember seeing like some photos you posted from the Sean Jump panel, and I'm like, I feel like you were like kind of up close, but I don't know.
I might have been zooming in the camera on that one.
Ah, you might have a good lens then.
I think on a few of the panels, like I think one of the trigger panels, they had reserve seats for all press. So on that one, I was in the front row. But otherwise, I just kind of sat where, like wherever I could get seats.
How many? I'm trying to think of AX. Like, if they play the train arc at AX, like that. I mean, obviously that'll be awesome. But like, I'm trying to think. How big would the room be? Like, how many people can you fit in there?
If they use the largest room, it would be 3,300 people.
Oh, dang. Never mind. That's pretty good.
But yeah, I mean, keep in mind, AX is like 100,000 plus people per day. So that's still like a small subsection, but that's still quite a bit of people.
Shoot, I might just drop in for a day and scram. Just come in and, you know. If Kimetsu's there, I'll come in and watch that, and I'll just leave.
That's really funny.
Fly in for a few hours, then bounce.
Oh, yeah.
I know plenty of people that, like, there's, like, a convention or whatever with, like, a special person you want to meet. They go specifically for that. Like,
yeah.
There were Japanese people who came to, I think, was it, like, I don't know, like, Anime Boston or some crap, and then they went specifically to see, like, some voice actor that was visiting.
Yeah, like, I know, like, Maria Issei is going to be at Anime NYC, and I'm just oh, like, I want to meet her, just because, you know, I mean, she does good stuff, but it's also, like, if it's depends, I don't know if that's just me, or it's just, I guess, it's just voice actors in Japan are bigger, but I'm like, I like to meet English voice actors, but it's like a Japanese voice actor. I love to meet a lot more for some reason. Like, I would go to a con for them, you know?
I feel with like English VAs, it's a lot easier to meet them. So like the desire to meet them is not as big. Where like with Japanese VAs and Seiyus, like the likelihood of seeing them normally is very unlikely.
Yeah, I think also, that's it.
It's also kind of different, like the culture, I guess, because in Japan, they have like kind of comparable to like idol culture, where people are like semi-famous and like people know of them. So there's kind of like a sense of allure of like, oh, you're gonna meet someone that everyone else knows. But for like English VAs, like voice acting isn't as like lucrative or like I guess appreciated as much. So part of that also like lowers like the, I guess, like the renown of the people actually doing the roles.
Yeah, that makes sense. Dang, I just want to see some more Kimetsu animated, dude.
Same.
I'm just thinking of the Red Light District arc. Oh, it's going to be so epic.
Oh, God.
Oh, bro. Oh, dude, that's my favorite arc of Kimetsu. Even still, that's my favorite arc. I love it. So when Volume 10 drops in January, that's going to be on my shelf day one. Maybe even day -5. I'm going to try to do some stuff. I don't know. It's going to be there. I love it.
I'll keep an eye peeled if they have advanced copies at NYC.
Oh, dude, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, I'm tempted to get a review copy of it just to experience it early.
Just experience. Bro, review that. I'm going to retweet the mess out of that.
I have so many other things I have to review, though. My review schedule before Anime NYC is a nightmare.
Just like look at V-Lord's shelf, and it's like a legit whole shelf of review copies.
Honestly, I probably could do that pretty soon. It's like they add up quite a bit.
But man, Kimetsu's so good, man.
Yeah,
so good.
Any final thoughts on this chapter?
Yeah.
Wait, there was something I wanted to say about the last page. I don't know if I did. On the last page where Bulgan is turning back in the direction of Yushiro's voice. That like surprise face. I'm thinking like specific. I don't know if it's gonna be addressed or not. But you know how Tamayo was the one who turned Shiro into a demon, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we talked about this, but doesn't that mean that Muzan can't sense him because technically he didn't make? He didn't.
Oh shoot!
Yeah. Like I think they actually modified their like chemistry, like so that Muzan can't track them.
Yeah, specifically Tamayo did that to herself, and then when she turned him or Yushiro into a demon, like, they didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, plus since Tamayo turned Yushiro into a demon, I don't think, yeah, Muzan can't control him at all.
Yeah,
so now I'm wondering if that's how Muzan's going to die, Yushiro's going to kill him. He's the only one. Or if Nezuko comes around.
Yeah, Nezuko could also do it. I think a long time back, though, they explained, like, demons can't really kill other demons. It has to be, like, a Nichiren sword or sunlight.
That's true. Muzan is a weird case, though. But, yeah, I would think of
Hashira. The fact that he turns people into demons, he can, like, eat them, and it becomes, like, his sustenance.
Yeah, like, Muzan himself, I think, can do it. Because, like, he created them, basically. Like, I don't think other demons can do it.
It's like injecting his own blood back into himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good chapter. I mean, somebody told me that it's obviously their opinion, so, you know, I respect that. But, like, they're like, it's like Kimetsu's not doing it for him anymore, and I really don't understand why. Because, like, it's legit, it's just hype every week. So, I mean, again, November 17th, man. Let's go.
1 week time skip right now.
Honestly.
Oh, but yeah, I guess if that's it, we should plug our stuff and get out of here. So
scram.
Yeah, so Marion, where can the good people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at microwavy, the E before the B. And I'm also on at Good Friends Cast. It's the Good Friends Anime Club. It's a good time. We just recorded a new episode, actually. It should be out in time for Anime NYC. But me and the other three co-hosts, we're all going to be there. So if you see us there, just say hi. Please talk to us. and I'm also on The View from the Top at Haikyuu Pod. It's a Haikyuu podcast where we talk about it. Like, we try to do it monthly. And we also record it for that. It's a time skip. We got new locations. A lot of stuff going on. And that was probably like our longest recording yet. So look forward to that.
Nice.
And AG, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ. I'm doing some good reviews. So please check me out. I need more followers. I got good content. But nah, you can follow me at Your Anime Guy on Twitter. I'm also doing a podcast now. Now in progress on Twitter. You can find updates on that. We're actually putting a new episode out sometime this week, whenever I'm not lazy. So other than that, I think that's about it.
Awesome. Definitely follow both of these guys. They're both amazing people. As for myself, you can follow me on Twitter at VLordGTZ, where I usually just talk about whatever I'm up to, usually not sleeping or trying to review manga. That is kind of just my life at this point.
Sometimes that's his life.
What, Marion?
Sometimes you do both at the same time.
Yeah, usually I am doing both at the same time, because a lot of my writing I do at like 3 a.m. at night, just from like how weird my schedule is.
Jeez,
crazy.
Honestly,
I've been wanting to do. I'll be up at that early in the morning sometimes, and like I'll be seeing like tweets from VLore. I'm like, what's this dude doing up at 3 o'clock in the morning, man?
Yeah, I mean, Sakaki's kind of the same too, but the difference with him is that he tries to sleep. I don't really even try to sleep at this point.
You don't even try to eat. Forget to eat.
Yeah, I forget to eat because I just get busy and I'm just like, oh wait, yeah, food's a thing. I should do that.
He just eats manga.
Yes, I'm just eating my own manga now. I mean, God, this volume of Silver Spoon is really good. I mean, you could really taste the flavor of the book.
Oh man, that's insane.
But speaking of my manga reviews, you can find those on old-comic.com. We're doing a lot of different reviews of different series from a bunch of different publishers. So there's probably something on there that you're interested in. And you can also find my more Tanami-focused articles and reviews over on TanamiFaithful.com. So if you're into Tanami, go head over there. And as for the podcast, you can find that on Twitter at DSlayerPodcast, where we put up updates about the podcast and just the various Demon Slayer news whenever there's any important news. And you can find the podcast itself also on a wide variety of streaming platforms, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, really like anywhere at this point. We're, I think, on all the major podcast platforms, so you can probably easily find us. Yeah, and that about does it. So see you guys later.
Later.